I'm Duncan MacLeod, and this is the Tech Central podcast. I'm joined now by Calvin Collett. Calvin is MD of Supersonic, an internet service provider in the MTN stable that sells fiber, LTE, and now something called air fiber. And we're going to talk a bit more about that in just a moment. But Calvin, first of all, I haven't seen you for a while. Welcome to the podcast. How are you doing? How's Supersonic doing? And is everyone surviving the lockdown your side?
Duncan, thank you for having me. Yeah, it's an interesting time. I mean, recently had an online conference with my staff, and you know, I hadn't seen them in 16 months. I mean, that in itself is absolutely ridiculous. You know, not to see staff in 16 days is tough, but 16 months is a different scenario. So we've had to adapt, but yeah, Supersonic's doing incredibly well. We can't complain, and obviously the additional need for data in the space has helped us. So yeah, in a good space.
Yeah, have you seen a boom in demand since the lockdown started? And I'm not asking for specific subscriber numbers, but can you give us some numbers percentage wise in terms of the growth you've seen over the last 12 months or so?
So, I mean, let's talk data uses just to start there. So, you know, we've seen it's just over 100% increase in data utilization. So average utilization on the fiber client was about 120 gigs a month. We're seeing about 250 gigs at the moment, which is interesting. And so, in other words, customers are really using the product. And also timelines are interesting, you know, so we used to see a peak from 4 to 10. Our peak at the moment is 8 p.m. I guess it's not surprising, but I mean, it's still interesting that's the peak at the moment. And then, yeah, I mean, so last year we grew 143%. So it gives an indication of the need for home connectivity.
Yeah, no, it's incredible growth. So doubling in traffic in a year, do you think that's going to moderate as we, touch wood, come out of the pandemic? Or do you think that people are now so used to streaming movies and watching Netflix, et cetera, and become so accustomed to broadband internet that their usage patterns are going to continue post-pandemic?
I think usage patterns will change, but I think usage will stay pretty similar. You know, I think there'll be this whole hybrid sort of work from home scenario that everyone's talking about is real. And I believe that's going to happen, is, you know, sort of 50-50 between work and home office. But that doesn't change the fact that, you know, people still require internet and they've got used to certain things. I mean, you take some of the online shopping stores or online shopping sites. I mean, they've seen tremendous growth. I don't see that subsiding. I mean, I think people have got used to it, and I think that's the new norm.
Now, how long has Supersonic been around? I seem to recall you launching about 3 years ago or so now. Is that sort of timeline correct?
Yeah, it's just under 3 years. So we launched on the 3rd of September, 2018.
Okay, so
we're about two and a half years old
this year. And you've been running the business since it started, correct?
Correct.
What is your background, Calvin?
So Duncan, my background is, I studied software development is my primary background, and then went into consulting with Accenture, and I did that for 5 years, and then decided to start my own business and started an ISP a while back. And interestingly enough, in the wireless and ISP industry. So very similar to what we're doing today, and ran that for 10 years. And then decided that was, you know, sort of, I'd grown it to a point and had enough, and then was headhunted by MTN ultimately to take over the business that was initially Smart Village, in those days, which was, and listen, Smart Village was an interesting business. I mean, they were the pioneers of fiber to the home, if you want to call it that, in their day. So MTN bought the business, and you know, I was tasked to sort of grow the business to a real home business that could be taken on. So yeah, that's sort of been the task, and that's been the focus.
Okay, so what was MTN's rationale behind launching a home-focused consumer ISP? What was What gap was MTN trying to fill in the market?
Daniel, I think it's interesting. I mean, I think especially now, I mean, it's specifically come to the fore. But I mean, I think forward thinking, it made sense. You know, you're looking, you're always going to need a mobile and a home focused connection. So while you're out of the home, you're going to use your mobile. And when you get home, you're going to use your home connection, which is typically fiber or fixed LTE or whatever else it might be. I think the interesting thing about that is that you needed to build a business. So, I mean, I think Vimatel were the pioneers in terms of true fiber to home and from a open access perspective. Mm. And then, you know, creating real value, you know. Ultimately, you know, as MTN, we're seeing a lot of people, as we call it, drop off. So 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock at night, the customers are actually moving off their mobile connectivity and onto the home connectivity and onto Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's interesting times. And that's not going to change. I mean, irrespective of COVID or whatever else, mm-hmm. I think that's the new norm. So, you know, we've got to focus on that as the primary business. And, you know, this whole concept of fixed mobile convergence is a real thing. I mean, it's taking longer than expected, but it's real. Mm-hmm. And I think MTN are taking advantage of that.
Now, you mentioned that you ran an ISP, you started and ran an ISP for 10 years. You're now the MD of an ISP that's part of a major telecommunications operator. In your view, does it help having a major telco as your shareholder, given the 10 years of experience you've had in the ISP industry, and it is a very competitive market? Does having MTN as your shareholder help you a lot?
Yeah, Duncan, there's no doubt. I mean, I think being the number one brand in Africa and top sort of five in South Africa helps. And you know, having the ability and the backing to be able to build an ISP like this is certainly incredible. I mean, you cannot grow 141% without that kind of backing. So it certainly makes a massive difference.
What was the rationale behind calling the business Supersonic rather than, say, I don't know, MTN ISP or something boring? I suppose I've answered my own question, Kelvin. But what was the thinking behind branding it Supersonic rather than MTN?
So MTN had a brand called MTN Supersonic in the past, which was their home, sort of the entrance into the home space. So we kind of just leveraged that as an initial pass and then just branded Supersonic and sort of created an entire brand around the MTN Supersonic initial sort of thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like you're hiding that MTN is your shareholder. I mean, your colors are bright yellow, and I think your payoff line is brightened by MTN. So it's not like you're saying, you're not pretending you're not part of MTN. You very clearly are part of MTN. But...
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
Okay. Now, air fiber. I'm quite excited to talk about air fiber because I've seen some of the noise you guys have been making about air fiber in the market, and not entirely understanding myself what exactly it is. So a bit of learning for me as well now, Kelvin. Air fiber, you're coming to market. You've asked your customers to express their interest, and that's determined where you're rolling out this product. But before we talk about where you're going with it, what is it exactly? What technology are you using? And why did you decide to launch air fiber in addition to your LTE offerings?
So, Duncan, I think the interesting part is that, you know, when we started, we realized that LTE has a marketplace and a specific customer set that it services. It's not guaranteed service. And that I think is what a lot of customers require. Mm. So they want to know they've got 10 megs, 24/7, 365. So they don't want buffering at 8 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night, et cetera, et cetera. That being said, you know, fiber is the product that services that typically, but getting fiber to the entire country is a difficult task. So, you know, we decided let's look out for what product could we potentially launch that would give fiber-like services without actually deploying fiber. And the only reason we didn't deploy fiber is because of the time to roll out versus a wireless deployment. Mm-hmm. So the three key things was price, which was, you know, can we get a $399 price point? Mm-hmm. Can we deliver services that would give fiber-like services, etc.? And then can we give a guaranteed speed? And those are the three things we set out for ourselves. So we went out and we found a company in Silicon Valley that could ultimately deliver that. And we spent 2020 doing a proof of concept on the AirFiber product. And yeah, I mean, it delivered every single thing that we required. And yeah, we launched on the 1st of May this year. Okay. As a competitor to fiber. So we're certainly not saying that it replaces fiber. I mean, fiber's got a place. But as a quick way to launch a fiber type service into the market and, you know, give customers a fiber-like experience and quickly, this is it's a great opportunity and a great service for that.
So do you require point-to-point for this to work, or is it like a cellular connection where you just have to be in a coverage area? Do I need to have something installed on the side of my house that points directly at the tower? How does it work exactly? What do I need to know as a consumer?
So it's point-to-multipoint is in essence. So we leverage the existing MTN tower coverage, which I think is a big benefit. So, you know, we've got this entire coverage that connects fiber back to the core transmission network. Mm-hmm. So we literally use the tower to the home to connect the customer. So you require a dish that's about the size of an A4 booklet, mm-hmm. and installs onto your home and then connects back to the base station. And that's how we connect every single customer.
And when you say point to point, does that mean you need a direct line of sight or not?
So this is interesting about the technology. So within 3 kilometers, it's complete non-line of sight. So you don't need to be able to see the customer, the tower. Mm-hmm. Within 5 kilometers, it's near line of sight. And then up to 15 kilometers, it's line of sight. Right. This technology is it uses beamforming technology, which allows it ultimately send out 6 beams. And then collates them at the opposite end. So, you know, you might get a beam that gets 30% of the data, one that gets 50%, one 20%, 80%, et cetera, et cetera. And ultimately it collates all that data at the end point and then completes an entire packet that then is ultimately the connection. So yeah, it's very clever technology.
Okay. And it's developed by a Silicon Valley. What's the name of this Silicon Valley company that's developed the tech?
It's Toronto.
Toronto. Okay. And
Toronto.
I beg your pardon?
Toronto.
I beg your pardon. So Calvin, the technology, the spectrum that you're using to offer the service, is it are you using unlicensed spectrum? Are you using MTN's licensed spectrum? Which is it?
So we're using unlicensed spectrum. And I think the benefit that we're ultimately doing is that we're not saying, listen, you know, we need to bridge a digital divide, but we require spectrum. We're saying, listen, we're willing to bridge a digital divide without the spectrum, and we're trying a technology that will ultimately do that. And, you know, once 5G, et cetera, launch, it's not either or, it's both. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's an important differentiation. You know, in the metros, we'll still use 5G. I mean, I don't see this sort of taking over 5G as a technology. But in your more rural areas, this will probably be the technology that we'll use as a primary versus a secondary technology.
It's interesting because I was having a look at your coverage map for AirFiber, and it seems at least initially that the demand that you've seen from your clients is actually coming from areas that are actually quite well serviced already. I saw there is coverage near to where I am here, but it's very much in an area that already has wall-to-wall fiber to the home and fiber to the business coverage. What's the reason for that? Why are customers looking for this product in areas where they're already well serviced by fiber?
It's an interesting question, because what we've seen is we've identified 4 key areas. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's ultimately fiber scarce. Okay, so fiber scarce is where exactly what you're saying. I mean, so you say wall to wall. It's actually interesting. There's not wall to wall. It's the areas covered, but the complexes that are not covered, there are streets that are not covered, and so on and so forth. So that's the one area. Then it's your sort of secondary towns, tertiary towns, and then rural. You know, those are your the sort of areas. So, but the interesting part is, you know, you take Soweto, Lanesia, have been huge uptake areas for us. I mean, they're limited. There's fiber opportunity in those areas, but pretty limited. And then obviously the coverage then sort of, you know, spares out from that. But it's not the primary reason that we're covering those areas.
Sure, understood. But having a look at where the demand has come from to date, and you've obviously started to roll out in the areas that you've identified on your map, but given what you're seeing in terms of feedback from your clients, where do you expect in sort of broad terms that you're going to be taking this product over the next year?
Duncan, I think in reality is that the primary towns, primary cities, should I say, and then all secondary towns. So we've seen major uptake in, you know, your Bloemfonteins, your Kimberleys, your East Londons, Port Elizabeths, you know, right up to Polokwane, Rustenburg, Nelspruit, etc. So there's massive uptake across the entire mix, and it's not surprising. I mean, I think it's not surprising to us that we've seen this uptake. I think for us it's a bit like being a kid in a candy store. You know, where do we focus this coverage on, and how do we make sure we optimize it? And we're going to where the customers require it. You know, we've had customers from Koffiefontein, which is the strangest thing, to be honest, they've literally got a couple of customers together or staff together, as they call it, and they've given us over 300 sort of users in the area who've signed up. So, yeah, it's interesting times. I mean, I think the reality is that internet is no longer a nice to have; it's a must have. And it's a commodity. It's like electricity and water. You know, the days of, you know, sort of saying, you know, we'd like electricity or we'd like water. I mean, I think internet's now a commodity. So, yeah.
Well, electricity isn't always a given in this town anymore, Calvin, unfortunately. Internet is, but electricity not so much. Now, Calvin, let's look at the plans that you're offering here. So it starts at 5 megabits a second and goes all the way up to 100 megs. And in between that, you've got 10, 20, and 50 megs a second. Are those symmetrical speeds or are those download speeds only?
Those are downloads only. They're asymmetrical.
Asymmetrical.
You're looking at about 20% of that as an upload speed.
Sorry, how much of that?
20%.
About 20% is an upload. Okay, so is the technology just not capable of doing a symmetrical connection?
Listen, we focus the technology on download specifically. So, you know, the radios get about 700 meg a second connectivity speed. So, you know, they're capable of a lot more than 100, which is the maximum connectivity speed.
Right.
But we've decided, you know, rather to provide an asymmetrical service. Primarily just to, I mean, look, internet is an asymmetric service in general. I mean, you download a lot more than you upload. So it doesn't make sense to provide a symmetrical service and strain the radios unnecessarily. So it made sort of, let's call it technical sense to create an asymmetrical service.
Understood. Okay. And are you able to guarantee these speeds, or is this a best effort service like mobile is?
No, it's a guaranteed service. I think that's the important part there is that, you know, we guarantee that we can give that service. And how we're able to do that is we know, you know, being a physical install, we know how many customers are connecting to that tower. So the second that tower is full and ultimately hits limit, we then move that customer to another tower, rather than over congesting or congesting that specific tower, which is typically where mobile, you know, has its limitations.
Yeah. Okay. So if there's no other tower in the area and you meet the maximum allowable number of customers on that tower, do you have to stop sign up or build another tower?
Exactly. Or build another tower. Exactly. And ultimately that's the benefit, is that we don't need to build another tower. We need to populate the tower.
Yeah.
So I think that's the difference, is that we literally need to go and put some equipment up on an additional tower.
Okay. And can you put this on any of MTN's high sites? I know that MTN spent a lot of time rolling out these street pole towers. I've got them all up my street here, in fact. I don't know how to describe them. They're like little cylindrical-shaped things on top of what look like street poles. Can you put your equipment on those as well?
No. We certainly can't. So it's on the primary towers.
The big ones. Okay. But there is. Sorry, Calvin, carry on.
No, so ultimately, what we require is a primary tower with fiber backhaul. So we still need to provide a fiber type service. So it's important that we have a fiber backhaul, is the simple reality.
Yeah. It's just the last couple of 100 meters that you're doing using spectrum, and everything else is actually a fiber connection. Okay.
100%.
Okay, so interesting pricing that you've come up here with here. So these are all uncapped plans, I take it.
100%. They're completely uncapped. And that was an important start for us. So we wanted it to be uncapped and unlimited and give us a segment of the market the ability to sort of use the internet for what it was built for rather than worrying about, geez, I've hit my cap. Should I use more? Shouldn't I? You should just be able to use the internet, not worry about it.
Right. Okay. And how did you decide on these prices? I mean, they're pretty aggressive pricing. It's pretty aggressive pricing if you compare it to mobile data and to FTTH. 100 megabit per second, which is the fastest plan, comes in at under 1,000 rand a month. I think your typical fiber at 100 megs on the other networks, I'm just guessing here. You can probably tell me better than I can, Calvin. I'm guessing is in the sort of 1,000 to 1,200 rand range. For a fiber connection. So this is actually undercutting the price of fiber. Why did you decide to do that?
It's back to the point. I mean, MTN's got the sort of payoff line that, everyone deserves the benefits of a modern connected life.
Yeah.
Okay. And, we started at right at the baseline and said, what sort of price can we guarantee these customers? And $3.99 was that price. And that was always our benchmark. So if we can provide a $3.99 price point, we've got the right product at the right price point. So that was the baseline. And we basically modeled the pricing from that stage upwards. And I think, Duncan, ultimately it's important that we reduce the barrier to entry for customers on internet connectivity, especially uncapped internet.
Are there any restrictions on these lines? I mean, are you shaping any peer-to-peer traffic or anything like that?
There's absolutely no shaping there's nothing on those specific lines, no.
Wow, okay, all right. So something you'll deal with later if you need to.
Yeah, I mean, there's always T's and C's that apply. But I mean, right now, there's absolutely nothing. And I don't see the need ultimately going forward.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. So, Calvin, is this competing with fiber to the home infrastructure providers? Are you a direct competitor with AirFiber to those fiber providers?
And it's not competing against them. Ultimately, I think we work with them. But ultimately, it changes the monopolistic sort of, and I say this carefully, way that the fiber operators operate. At the moment, there's very little view to overbuild. Mm-hmm. So, if there's Vimatel there, no one builds there. If there's OpenServe in an area, no one overbuilds, et cetera, et cetera. And I think we've got to be careful of that because you create, without thinking about it, we create a monopoly in those areas. So the great thing is to be able to sort of break that monopoly down. Listen, it's not just us. It's going to be 5G, Vodacom are going to do it, Telkom are going to do it, et cetera, et cetera. So it's important that multiple operators give customers the opportunity for multiple products in various areas. And I think that's an important sort of view that we have to take.
So, Calvin, this is delivered over unlicensed spectrum, I presume using the same spectrum bands that we use to access Wi-Fi. Have you come across any issues with interference during your testing, and how are you going to manage interference problems when they occur?
Duncan, I think one of the the primary things that we used to test this product was interference cancellation. So this product specifically was built to work around interference cancellation. So the two primary benefits are interference cancellation and beamforming technology. So as I was saying earlier, you know, beamforming is they send us six beams to every single tower, and that ultimately creates the best effort packet technology. And then the interference cancellation is a proprietary technology that this company specifically developed to work around the interference in the 5.8 or sub-6, as they call it, spectrum that we utilize. So it's specific proprietary technology that they utilize.
Always interesting to see a new technology coming into the local telecommunications market. I know we're going to have some people listening to this, business users listening to this, saying, this sounds really interesting. I'm running a small business, tired of paying fiber prices, or I can't get fiber to where my office is. Will you service those business customers as well, or is Supersonic very much a home retail consumer play only?
So Duncan, certainly. So we're happy to service the SME market, and we're not going any further than that. So, you know, it's an SME play. So it's specifically sort of your 5 to 100 megasecond customer who utilizes, you know, for the home or small office, SOHO or SME enterprise. So certainly there's a massive opportunity. And specifically, if you look at your regional, you know, your Polokwanis, your Nelspruits, your Rustenburgs, there are lots of small businesses out there, and those we want to service and we want to assist them. You know, connectivity is key at the moment. You know, there's so many applications that requires, you know, from accounting technologies to ERPs, et cetera, that are cloud-based. And we want to assist the customers in being able to utilize those technologies.
Do you think this technology is an interim step to 5G, and that once 5G is deployed on a widespread basis, we're not going to need air fiber anymore?
That kind of thing, it's not one or the other, it's both. So I think in your metro areas, we'll see air fiber being less and less utilized. So we'll move that technology and that equipment more into your rural areas, so that they can still, you know, benefit from the technology or the mediums that we're transmitting. But it's neither one or the other, it's both. And I think it's an important distinction, is that there's no one size fits all in terms of technology. And it's important that we, you know, across this entire country and in terms of the continent as well, you know, MTN's an African or Pan-African and you know, Middle East player. And there's a place for this technology across the entire continent. And that's hence why, you know, we've sort of focused on getting this out there.
Okay, so is the plan to work with MTN to take this into some of its other markets around the continent in time?
Absolutely. You know, we're talking to five different markets at the moment.
Oh, wow.
In terms of and how do we deploy this? How does it make sense? So we've got African exclusivity on this product at the moment. So, yeah, it's an important sort of milestone for us.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And just lastly, if you sign up for one of these packages, I presume you're signing up for some sort of contract term. Is there a 24-month, 36-month contract you have to sign up for when you sign up for these packages?
Duncan, we've actually taken an interesting view. It's a month-to-month at the moment.
Oh, nice, nice.
With free install. And it's back to the point, you know, we really want to give people access to the technology. If we're honest, everyone requires connectivity at the moment, and we want to make sure that that's, you know, sort of easily accessible.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, congratulations on bringing a new technology into the South African market. It's always exciting for us to talk about something other than LTE and fiber, Kelvin. Congratulations. Yeah. I look forward to seeing how the technology does and playing with it myself. But Kelvin Collett, thanks so much for coming on to the Tech Central podcast. Kelvin Collett is MD of Supersonic. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Duncan. Thanks for having me.